Our text for today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 20 through 24, and can be found on page 159 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. But who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, "Why have you made me like this?" Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the objects of wrath that are made for destruction? And what if he has done so in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, including us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles? This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Let's open in prayer. Good morning, Lord. You are the awesome creator. You're the awesome Christ who died for our sins and was resurrected so we can be in heaven with you forever when we ask you to be our Savior. And you are the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts once we've asked you to be our Savior and can't be taken away. I pray that this morning you would open our hearts and minds to what your scripture has to say. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It is, again, such an honor and a privilege to be in front of you preaching today. I had several interesting comments this morning as you walked in. A lot of, "Wow, Dan, you're dressed nice." I figured I have to do it once a year at least, right? I had a lot of people texting me, "We're praying for you, Dan," like, you know, some worry was coming through in the text, but thank you. It means so much to me that I have a church family that would be thinking of me in a busy weekend being up here this morning. And again, I thank Pastor Steve and the session for allowing me to do so. You know, as we'll hear more about in a few minutes, my entire family and I, with a lot of your support, had the blessing to make the mission trip to Guatemala just about over a month ago with 15 other friends and family of the congregation. And it was an incredibly special trip. I'm not going to steal thunder from those that are going to be up here later talking. But part of the reason it was special is because Jeff and Vicky were leading for the last time. And so it was just such an incredible honor. And, you know, when I was on my way to the trip, when I was coming back, I was just thinking to myself, how did I get here? You know, how did we get here? And, you know, growing up, as many of you have heard me say before, I was thankful for my Catholic upbringing. It was the Catholic Church that introduced me to Christ and had me pray at an early age for him to be my Savior. But aside from wanting to do well in school and sports and wanting to have a job and get married to a good woman and have at least one boy and one girl, I never imagined what the Lord would do with my life. I never imagined. I've had 5 beautiful kids, 3 of them being adopted. I never imagined the Lord would have me go to Cornell and get a degree in human resources and get a bunch of wonderful years of executive coaching. So when my brother left the Catholic Church and joined a Baptist church, it got me thinking about my faith. I never imagined the Lord would ask me to think about leaving the Catholic Church and eventually joining this church, changing the spiritual course for Dominiches forever. And then I get here and I meet this relatively new pastor named Stephen Heinzel Nelson, who, by the way, is one of the most gifted speakers I've ever heard, whether in a church or in a business meeting with thousands of people. And I remember thinking, boy, I'd love to be able to help this guy in any way I can. And wouldn't you know it, God used that executive coaching to help Stephen for all these years, as well as leading the HR committee for many years. So you see, God can use us in amazing ways that we don't ever see coming. Just this morning, I was preparing, and I was I forgot my envelope, and so I'm using the envelopes in the pew, and
I picked it up, and what did someone write? And clearly in children's handwriting, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Right? It's a God moment. And that's the analogy today's passage. We're the clay. God is the potter. We just need to be open to his molding. And the parallels of this analogy are just endless. We spent 4 nights in Guatemala doing devotions on just this topic. And I don't have 4 nights with you, but you get the point. And I love the passage when I think of so many people in our culture, maybe even in this church, who say, why, God? Why do I look this way? Why do I have this athletic ability or not? Why do I have this personality or not? Why do I live in this country? Why do I have these parents? Why do I have this teacher? And God says, read my words in the Bible, and I'll tell you. I love today's reading. Verse 20. Who are we, human beings created by an almighty God, to argue with him? God loves every one of us in this church. He loves every one of us in this world. And made each of us, as I always tell my kids, made each of us for a special purpose. And as we know, Jesus created us to be new creations once we put our faith in him and molds us the more we get to know him and listen to him and emulate him. We just need to be open. We need to be clay, ready to get to know him through his word and listen for him. Now, you know, I struggled with verse 21. About the Lord making out of one lump of clay something for special use and another for ordinary use. You see, I'm an A personality, whether it came to school or work or sports. For those of you that have played dodgeball with me on a youth retreat, I'm an A personality, okay? So from a spiritual sense, what did that mean? I wanted to be bringing millions of people to Christ, right? Now, God has been absolutely wonderful, and allowing me to have a small role in bringing some people to Christ, and maybe I'll have a chance to do that this morning, who knows? But, you know, as one of my favorite Christian thought leaders, Alistair Begg, said, sometimes God just asks us to hold the door. And I have to tell you, there were times in Guatemala when we were just kind of waiting around, right, to get some work done, and we had to remind ourselves, sometimes God just asks us to hold the door. Be thankful for that, and don't dwell on what God isn't asking you to do. All right, so now let's get to the meatier, and dare I say, more difficult part of the scripture. Verse 22 says, so what if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the objects of wrath that are made for destruction? What does this mean? Why would God desire to show his wrath? Well, my friends, some of you have heard me say this before, but God could have made us robots, right? God could have made us people following him blindly, doing whatever he wants us to do. But the good news and the bad news is he didn't, right? He gave us what we call free will, the ability to follow him, to accept him, or not. Those of us with children can relate to how difficult it is when your children choose to not listen to your best advice, to not follow us, to do what's not in their best interest. The same applies to all of us with God, right? And we know from the book of Romans, when we sin, we're separated from God, and that upsets him. And friends, I know some of you don't like hearing this, but over and over in the scriptures, God shows his wrath and makes known his power. God shows it in the book of Exodus. He shows it in the book of Numbers. He showed it with Job. He showed it in the book of Isaiah. He showed it in the book of Lamentations and the book of Kings. I could go on and on. And it's not just the Old Testament, right? Some people try to say, well, God's rough and tough in the Old Testament, but then Jesus showed up. Well, anyone remember Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple? And who are these objects of wrath that are made for destruction? Some might tell me not to say this morning. That's those of us who haven't accepted Jesus, my friends. Let me say it again, because this might be the most important thing I ever say while standing in front of this congregation. Who are the objects of wrath that are made for destruction? It's those of us who haven't accepted Jesus. You need more proof? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-10. He will punish those of us who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence in the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Not quite the sweet grandpa version of God that we like to think of, right? You know, I was talking to a dear friend recently. He's someone who's overcome incredible addictions, thank God. He told me he believes you should make your God whoever you want him to be, and he counsels others to do the same. While I appreciate the thought, that isn't the truth of Scripture, my friends. That's like we're the potters, right? And God's the clay, and we mold him to be who we want him to be. But, you know, we need to be the ones who are malleable. We need to be the ones who are moved and molded by our God, who's characteristics don't change. They're well documented in the Bible, and they stay the same no matter what's going on in our lives. So we need to be the ones who are the clay, open to change, open to thinking differently about what God, how God asks us to think and behave. And there's only one true God, my friends, the God of the Bible, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I know it's a little tough for a Sunday morning, but what does Pastor Steve always say in relation to God? Grace and mercy, right? So let's look at a few more passages. Verses 23 and 24 from this morning's scripture. And what if he has done so, what I just talked about, in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, including us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So in other words, God shows his wrath in part so we can see how merciful he is to those whom he has called and have accepted his call. And he says all are called and can accept his invitation. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, right? All can accept his call. Unfortunately, not all will, right? Because he didn't make us robots, but all can. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7, God said, "At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring upon it." Friends, I can't help but think about this in the context of our nation, right? That we pray for every week here. Brother Dennis Rue preached on this one time. Because what encourages me is that Jesus began building his church in a dark and depraved world, a world that devalued life and denigrated marriage. Sound familiar? It was into this world that the church brought a message of God's deep love for people. And the church didn't just preach. Christians demonstrated God's love. They modeled a respect for life, again, sorry to be controversial, and honored God's design for marriage and sexuality. People saw a radically different approach to life. They were attracted to it, and despite persecution and opposition, the church prevailed. And we can do it again. What we face today, a world of sin and brokenness, is not new. The church has been here before. So, as I always do, I pray that if you haven't already put your faith in Christ, you would do it this morning. So, with everyone's head down and eyes closed, please, I'm going to ask you right here and right now, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, to ask him to be your Savior. So with everyone's eyes closed and heads down, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Savior, and you want him to do it today, raise your hand. Amen. praise God. If you know you're a sinner and know that separates you from God, but haven't asked Jesus to close that gap and want to this morning, raise your hand. Amen. If you want to spend an eternity in paradise with God rather than spending an eternity as an object of destruction separated from God in hell, you can accept Jesus right now. Praise God. Let's pray. With this in mind, Lord, we constantly pray to you that you, our God, may count us worthy of your calling, and that by your power you may fulfill every good purpose of ours and every act prompted by our faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and us in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.